I'm Paul Wiegraf, Director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. Joining me in the studio today are guests from the Light Up the Queen Foundation, the Executive Director, Sarah Kuhn, and the Board Secretary and Chair of the Shine a Light on 1969 Committee, Kathleen Ford. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So glad to have you here. Let's start for our listeners' sake. And Kathleen, I'm going to turn this toward you because I know you've been with the Light Up the Queen Foundation longer than Sarah has been. Let's go back to the beginnings of the Light Up the Queen Foundation, how it got started and how it has evolved over time. Because of any organization that the Division of the Arts is familiar with, yours has evolved in a way quite unique to the arts community.
Sure, Paul, that's very, very true. The Light Up the Queen Foundation originally was founded in 2008, and the main mission was to get the Queen Theater, to save it from ruin, basically. I think those of you who have ever seen any of the photos up on our site or were around at that time, the roof was caving in, and it really was in pretty bad shape. So, that's why the Light Up the Queen Foundation, and now, you know, we were focused on getting funds along with many local organizations to get that building open. And we still consider ourselves sort of a steward for the building, although it is owned by Buccini Poland, and now Live Nation is the tenant in there running the music end of the business, providing the services and utilizing the space. But now, over the last, I would say, couple years, we've really turned our focus because the building, we lit it up. She is a beautiful thing. And now it's time to really focus on our mission of arts and music education in the community. And we have just hired, at our 10-year anniversary, which was last year, at the end of last year, we've just hired our first full-time executive director. As you know, Tina Betts had been our part-time executive director for a number of years and was really key in helping us develop our programs. But we now have Sarah Kuhn, who you introduced. She's here with us as our first full-time ED. She's in the end of 2 months. She's been with us. And I'm going to turn it over to her and let her talk about some of the programs now that we're focused on, how our mission's changed.
Great. Before you do that, Sarah, let's inform our listeners what brought you to the Light Up the Queen Foundation.
Okay, this is a great question. I'm really, really thrilled to be here in this position. And I actually have a relationship with the Queen Theater. As a teenager growing up in Delaware, there's a kind of a mythology behind this abandoned theater, especially with the Haunted House movie being the last movie that was shown. And this was kind of like teenagers like sneak into the Queen as it's an abandoned haunted theater. So it's like a building that I've known about since I was young. And I have a theater background. I have an arts background. I'm a classical piano player, a singer-songwriter. So I haven't been in Delaware my whole life. You know, I moved away. I was in Los Angeles. I was touring nationally with the theater troupe. I really kind of got plugged into nonprofit when I was in Los Angeles. So coming back to Delaware, probably about 8 years ago, my first job was at the Queen Theater as a ticket taker. Mm-hmm. I was working in the box office and just kind of having like a renewed relationship with this building that had such a mystery and a mystique behind it as I was a child growing up in Delaware. So I love the building. It's beautiful. I loved taking people on tours of the building and showing them the murals and just the history. So when this position became available and I learned about it, I happened to be job searching at the time. So it was quite lucky that the timing worked out, that I was looking for a job as this job became available. And it really hits all of the things that I love: nonprofit and community service, arts and music, education, and the Queen Theater. So it's very, very exciting for me to be here.
And we're really excited to have her. I mean, Paul, you know this from, heading up this organization, but we were very lucky during our interviewing process. We had a large number of really qualified candidates, which I think is very exciting for Wilmington, very exciting mm-hmm. for Delaware, mm-hmm. that there are, a number of people out there looking for executive director jobs in the arts.
Mm-hmm. And you come in at a time, you were talking, Kathleen, earlier about sort of how the mission of Light Up the Queen Foundation has changed. Sarah, you come in at a time now where it is really a programmatic organization, not a fundraising organization for reopening the building. So let's go down that path.
The
range of programming you have, not only for the public, but education outreach and that whole gamut.
Awesome. Yeah, this is a super exciting time to be a part of the Light Up the Queen Foundation. As we're entering kind of phase two of our existence, we have some programs that have already been developed that are pretty successful. My favorite program right now is probably the Smart Arts program. We've already had over 6,000 students come through our program, you know, for this past fiscal year. And we basically bring children in K through fifth grade to the Queen Theater. They get to come, as a field trip in the middle of the school day. And for some of these kids, this is the first time that they've ever been in the theater, and we have the lights going and the big sound system, and it is so exciting. And it's really thrilling to be in the building where you have hundreds of kids just kind of losing their minds to these professional, educational-based, artists that are just providing just really high-quality music experiences for kids. And we all know how developmentally important it is for kids to get all of these experiences and be introduced to art and music at a young age, as they're, in these really sensitive kind of growth periods of their life. Part of why I am here right now today is because I was involved in programs like this as a child, in Delaware. So it's really great to be able to carry that on. We have, some really, other cool programs that are happening. We have an in-school arts residency that we work together with the Delaware Institutes of Arts and Education. And we are actually having a show coming up with them where, they kind of create a curriculum based around an artist that we bring in, and the artist does a performance as a cumulative experience. So we're
going to... Yeah, let's talk about that one a little bit more. I mean, that one, we're basically the funders, and we partner with the Delaware Institute of Arts and Education, and they have teaching artists that they send out to the schools. So basically they will work with whichever artist at the time that we contract with. Mm-hmm. One that we did at the end of last year was with Terrence Simeon and his Zydeco experience. And a lot of people, not only just small children, don't even know what Zydeco music is. Mm-hmm. So those teaching artists are educated in the Zydeco music, washboard, the origins, things like that. And then we have the performance that Terrence and his group did. And in this case, the one coming up on the 20th is Soul Defined, which is a dance troupe. But they then go out, they teach these teaching artists, spend a day with workshop. We do a performance for the students of their show in the afternoon, and then we have an evening performance for open to the public, mm-hmm. so people can kind of see what it is that they do and what they're bringing. But then those teaching artists go out and do workshops in the schools and translate that into learning experiences to keep the arts in the schools, which is, as we all know, doesn't happen. And so we're kind of funding that.
So the benefit to the student is that the student is not just attending a performance, but they've actually worked with artists in the classroom setting to understand what the components of that art form, the components are.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And there's a lot of integrative study that happens here. You might have like an earth, you might have like earth science, you might have, all kinds of other disciplines that combine and integrate with art. To kind of tell the history and the story and the background of the art form that they're going to be experiencing and seeing. You also have the artist coming and teaching them the skills, some basic skills that they can kind of, reproduce themselves. So when they come in to see the performance, it's really powerful for them because they have all of these experiences leading up to what they're going to see. And this is open to the public. As the cumulative show, which is going to be this great dance troupe called Soul Defined. There's an emphasis on tap dance, which is kind of a dying art, something you don't really see that often. So this is really kind of a modern take on, tap and modern dance. And how often do you get to go out and like see a dance troupe, especially a high quality professional dance troupe for free? So this is going to be happening at the Queen Theater on the 20th, February 20th. So this is open to the public. Anyone listening, please come, check out the show and see what we're doing.
And I believe it's a 6 p.m. Yeah. Show? Is that right?
Yep. It's six to eight. It is free to get in. We are asking for a suggested donation of $10 or whatever you have. If you don't have it, come anyway. Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Now, does Light Up the Queen Foundation reach out to the schools with this program, or does Delaware Institute for Arts and Education reach out, or is it sort of a combined outreach effort?
Yeah, this is one of our kind of newest programs, and we've really been building on this relationship with the DIAE, and they've been going out and partnering with the schools. This kind of came out of the Warner Alliance, Arts Alliance, and we're expanding it a little bit. And the Light Up the Queen Foundation is a member of the Jazz Touring Network, the Mid-Atlantic Arts Foundation. And so we're trying to tie these together because we have access to these amazing jazz artists who also, some of them have arts education background, and we're kind of tying that together. Mm-hmm. So, as you know, we really do have that love of jazz here in Wilmington, so we wanted to tie all that together.
That's a great way to segue into some of your other programming, but let me first remind our listeners that you are tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guests in the studio today are from the Light Up the Queen Foundation in Wilmington, the Executive Director Sarah Kuhn, and the Board Secretary and Chair of the Shine a Light on 1969 Committee, Kathleen Ford. We were talking about the Smart Arts Program. Sarah, let's get into some of the other programming that you do. Kathleen, you mentioned the strong connection to jazz as an art form here in Delaware.
That's right. We also, one of our main programs is that we're going into our fifth year this year, is the Boise Lowry Living Jazz Residency. And Sarah, if you don't mind, I'll talk about it because it's one of the ones I'm super passionate about.
This one's mine, right?
I love this program. Jonathan Whitney is our program director for this, and it's a 2-week fully paid residency for young adults age 17 to 25, and they're for composing jazz artists. So they can be vocalists, any instrument, but they must be a composing musician. And we basically bring them in. We hire jazz instructors, master clinicians, and they're getting a benefit of a lot of knowledge. We also time it around the Clifford Brown Jazz Festival. So there's other artists in town, and there's a lot of collaboration at the local bar scene after the show. But the thing is, it's fully paid residency. We've had return participants who just love it. It's a great, great program, as I said. And last year, the city who runs the Clifford Brown, City of Wilmington, who runs the Clifford Brown Jazz Festival, actually tagged on their very last show of their festival is our culmination of the residency, where all the ensembles play their original pieces of work at the Queen.
So this is a great learning training opportunity for jazz musicians, and an opportunity for the Delaware community to hear the culmination of that creative process.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And where do these musicians come from? How many participate in any given year?
They come from all over the country, and actually we've had some people from Canada and Taiwan in the past years, and we have around 15, 16 spots available each year, and those applications are being accepted now. You could go to our website under that program and get all the information, but it really is an amazing program.
And the website is lightupthequeen.org. Great. Now, so for these musicians and for that public performance, which I've attended, it's really phenomenal. You have everything from solo jazz musicians to ensemble. So some of the musicians there are composing for the musicians who are there. They see what the instrumentation and vocalists, what they have there and compose. So it's really a fascinating.
That's right. Project. It is. It's just so amazing to see these young people all working together and learning their craft and learning to understand the other people's instruments, as you say. It's really wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, other programs? Because I know you have an on-screen in-person program. And
We do have on-screen in-person right now. We have an event coming up, Man on Fire. It's one of our movie screenings. Check the website for information on that. So yeah, it's a pretty cool program. It's through the Mid-Atlantic, you know, Arts Foundation as well. So we'll have movies are essentially touring, independent movies that you probably wouldn't have access to seeing on other platforms. So it really kind of creates there's a small community of, you know, art film lovers in Wilmington, and this is kind of just an effort to try to grow that community of, you know, film lovers.
And the showings, I believe, are accompanied by the actual directors of the film,
yeah.
And they are there to talk mm-hmm. about it and
answer questions right. and have an interactive, you know, experience with film lovers, people that just want to come and, you know, appreciate, you know, these cool movies. Yeah, so that's a neat program. Yeah, so that's basically what we have for programming now. Mm-hmm. You mm-hmm. can expect to see, you know, some expansion of our programming, potentially some new programming rolling out now that I'm here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is part of what I want to do is, you know, just create some more, you know, opportunities for the community to be involved and mm-hmm. to get into what's happening at the Queen Theater, you know, and use that space to really, you know, bolster the community.
Now, I definitely want to give us time to talk about the Shine a Light on
yes.
1969 event. But a quick question. You use the same space that Live Nation does. What kind of logistics are involved in coordinating your programming?
That's a great question. You know, we started off with World Cafe Live
right.
As the building opened, and it's now the running, operating of the building and the tenant there is now Live Nation. And we're very lucky. We have huge support from Vicini Poland Group, and they make sure it's part of the lease to whoever's in the building that we get some office space there, as well as a number of days and an arrangement about using the space. I mean, the building is not always used during the day, and that's when our programs are, so it works out quite nicely. We have our fundraiser there every year, and the staff is just wonderful. They make, you know, you don't even realize that it's not all just, we're one all big one team. Last year was their first year, and they had a little bit of an eye-opener when mm-hmm. we sell out that building. 1,100 people. It was the first time they'd seen it sold out, mm. and it was amazing. We're very lucky. And Live Nation is going to be a great partner for us. They have their own foundation that we're hoping to work more with as we go on. And they really, when they set up shop somewhere, they really get involved in the community. So we're looking forward to working with them.
And I think that leads us right into the Shine a Light on 1969.
That's right. Event. So that is our one and only fundraiser at the moment. It's been going on for, this will be our eighth year. And it started because a number of the musicians wanted that building open as a venue for them to perform, local musicians, bands. And they're like, look, we can't write checks, but we can certainly pack a house. And it's been going strong ever since. So started off with some Rolling Stones theme. Then we went into the 70s. We're now back in the 60s. So this year is 1969. We are partnering. One interesting thing is there's a nonprofit that we partner with for the food. We did it last year for the VIP experience. We provide a full dinner, open bar, lots of fun stuff going on up there with on the balcony level. And the Crop Foundation, who does kind of what we do for music and students in music, they do for young adults in culinary arts. And we have celebrity chefs from the local area who partner up and kind of pick a theme, a menu item, and work with the students through the Crop Foundation to prepare the menu for our VIP event. So the Crop Foundation was established in 2014 and is an all-volunteer-based organization. And like I said, it's really, they're devoted to helping young students study the culinary, agriculture, and other closely related mm-hmm. fields. So it's a very nice pairing for us. But the show is on March 2nd. It's at 8, and it can be 8, you know, maybe 3 to 4 hours, depending on how much fun the guys on stage. We have over 50 local musicians who participate. So it's a big just round robin of people coming in. And tickets are still available. We have GA downstairs. And then upstairs, as I mentioned, is the VIP experience. And there's a ton of information on our website, which is lightupthequeen.org/shinealight.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's the significance of 1969?
Well, you know, it's just seemed that every 3 years we change. So last year was 1968, and a number of us were turning 50 last year in 1968. Last year was our 50th birthday. A lot of organizations in Wilmington were celebrating their 50th anniversary. So this year is 69 because it's the next one. We don't know what's going to happen next year because there's no more sixes left in that sequence. So it'll be interesting to see where we go.
Yeah. Well, we've got about a minute and a half left. Kathleen, I'm curious, and Sarah, actually, you can respond to this too, having been here when you were younger. How have you seen downtown Wilmington change over the last, since the Queen opened? I mean, the Queen now is really an anchor of the arts, the life of the in the arts on Market Street. How have you seen Market Street evolve?
Well, I mean, when this first started, you know, over 10 years ago, there was not much going on. There was a few things here or there, but now, you know, we're right on that corner. We've got Merchant Bar, we've got La Fia, Bardea just opened up the street. The historical societies just did a big, huge revamp of their space. So, I mean, Market Street is a amazing place. There's a lot going on. There's a lot more housing downtown in that area. So it's really fun. If you haven't been downtown, or you're afraid to go downtown, or, you know, whatever case may be, I think give it another chance because it's really changed.
Mm-hmm. Wilmington really is becoming a place to live, work, and play. I mean,
absolutely.
If you're downtown on an evening when there's something going on at the Queen, the Grand, the Playhouse, Christina Cultural Arts Center, Delaware Theater Company, it is a busy city.
Absolutely.
So true.
Well, we're running out of time here. Kathleen Ford and Sarah Kuhn, thank you so much for joining us to talk about the Light Up the Queen Foundation.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate for having us.